Hi everyone, Joe Grammatico here. Just real quick before we get the show started, episode 36 is going to come at you. We're going to talk about some of the most underrated goaltenders of all times. This episode was previously recorded, so some of the information that you hear, speculation and some crosstalk regarding the NHL restart is going to seem pretty dated, so apologize for that, but the episode that we had saved that we wanted to get out to everyone. If this is your first time listening to us, welcome. Well, we appreciate the support from those of you that listen to us weekly. If you haven't yet, please check us out on Facebook at The Lighter Side Pod. That's at The Lighter Side Pod on Facebook. We like to post links from time to time on articles, as well as we'll put our latest episodes out there. Check us out, share that information, invite your friends to like our page. We appreciate it. Once the shutdown is done, we'll get some more crosstalk going on our Facebook page. So sign up there and don't miss out on anything that's going to be coming up, and we'll see you. So enjoy the show. Welcome back, The Lighter Side. Joe and Tom coming back at you. And this week, we're talking about underrated goalies of all time. Tom, how's it going?
Joe, doing well. Just getting over this rain. Supposed to have some nice weather coming in next few days. I'm looking forward to that. But, you know, now that we're going to be able to get outdoors, you know, it was tough being shut in, but good time to talk about goalies.
Yeah, you put together a list of some underrated goalies of all time that we wanted to go through this week, keeping with our theme of not being able to cover current hockey news, so going through some historic topics. So you want to take it away?
Yeah, Joe, you know, goaltenders are a rare breed, and you know, I know a lot of them, a lot of quirkiness in their personalities, and you have to be to play that position. I kind of ran across the list and just the goalies in general, and it, you know, it kind of struck me funny because, you know, stats, you know, can be so misleading for that position at times, and most of the stats anyway, indicating if a goalie has been productive in his career or not. Or currently, for that matter, for the current goalies. But, I came across a list and I thought, well, which one of these guys are underrated? And you're going to be amazed, and some of the listeners will be as well, when they hear some of my names. And, you know, I do have reasons for it. Some of these guys are Hall of Fame goalies. But for me, underrated at that position means maybe they're not getting – enough talk about them. It seems lately in the hockey world, like you hear of the same old names coming up with goaltenders. But to me, there's lists of many of them, many goaltenders that had pretty good careers, kind of maybe weren't, you know, noticed as much as the other ones, like Brodeur or Patrick Waugh, or, you know, names like that. So we're going to go through a few of them and, you know, talk a little bit about these guys and what made them that way to me. And maybe you have some insight as well, and maybe some opinions yourself. I'm sure you have some guys jotted down as well, but I'm not going in any particular order here. And let's just get this one out of the way first, Joe.
Okay.
We're going to throw this one out because it's been bandied around here a lot in Detroit. Chris Osgood's name comes up quite a bit, and you know, his name is on this list. I believe he should be in the Hall of Fame. I think you know, it's funny when you talk Hall of Fame in any sport really these days. There's always that conversation that strikes, like, who, well, does he really deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, or what warrants a Hall of Fame inductee? This guy has 400 wins, 400 plus wins, Joe. And then the knock, you know, from the people that argue the point he shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame say, well, anybody could get 400 wins with the team he played in front of.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your take on that, Joe?
I always go back and forth on it because he, just from an individual accolade standpoint, he was never really a well-known, I guess you'd consider high-end elite goalie. But he, I mean, he did backstop two Stanley Cup teams, and he did them far apart. And he was 25 when he backstopped the 98 team. He was 35 when he took the starting job away from a Hall of Fame goalie, Dominic Hasek, in 2008. And I believe, I'm looking real quick here, he had a 1.55 goals against average at 35 years old with three shutouts when they won that Stanley Cup in 2008. So he didn't just ride the coattails of the team in front of him, like a lot of people say. And I think, I mean, there's only 13 guys in the history of the NHL that have won 400 games, and all of them are in the Hall of Fame with the exception of Curtis Joseph. And there's some guys, there's some goalies that don't have as many wins as Osgood, don't have as many Stanley Cups that are in the Hall of Fame. And to me, he's definitely should be on the ballot every year getting some votes. He's obviously wasn't a first ballot Hall of Famer, but at some point he should get in there.
Yeah, Joe, I mean, you mentioned the stats, and I'd like to add a few more myself. Now, this guy, he played in 129 postseason games, had a 2.09 goals against average with 15 playoff shutouts.
Mm-hmm.
That's done in the postseason, and like you said, he did it in 10-year increments. So this guy went to St. Louis and then the Islanders. He was kind of finding himself. He thought maybe his career would be done. He changed his style, which you won't see a lot of goalies do. So, you know, this guy has gone through some mental battles that this position presents, you know, other than the things that happen in the course of a game. Like, he was getting maligned because he supposedly cost the Wings that 91 playoff where they got knocked out by San Jose with that costly turnover that he created, and they lost that game 7 in overtime. Then he also let in a couple long ones on teams that you know, they recovered and end up winning the cup. It did, you know, cause Detroit fans to maybe not trust him, but you know, this guy settled down after all that and performed, and to his credit, I think he's got the perfect demeanor to play the position. And he's always made the timely saves, especially later in his career. So there's a lot to be said for that. So that reason alone, I'm putting him as an underrated goalie and one that should be in the Hall of Fame. And if he isn't, it's probably going to be a real travesty.
Yeah, I go back to my Eric Lindros point. If Eric Lindros is in the Hall of Fame, and, you know, Osgood has a lot more accolades than Eric Lindros, and Osgood has a lot more accolades than the guys that made it into the Hall of Fame on this class in 2019.
Joe, 401 wins, 216 losses, 50 shutouts. I mean, conversation should end right there. Three cups. I mean, he's responsible for a couple of them.
Right.
And you know, to me, I hope Eric Lindros won't be the benchmark because that'll allow guys in that maybe, you know, haven't had long careers, or you know, maybe careers that would warrant it stat wise. So hopefully that's not a benchmark that's going to be a, you know, something that people go to the well too often. So Joe, this next goalie, another guy who has had cup success, has had a lot of success, actually, but mainly very, very underrated, and his name rarely comes up, Andy Moog. This guy played 713 games. He's 18th in the goaltender wins with a 372. He's got 209 losses and 88 ties. The thing, he's a little under the 90% save percentage ratio, and his goals against average is 3.14 with 28 shutouts over his career. where this guy really hits it to me is he would come in. He got 132 playoff games under his belt, 68 wins and 3 cups. And he's made 4 All-Star teams, which says a lot, because this guy played a predominant complementary role to Grant Fuhr all those years, and before he was dished to Boston.
Mm-hmm.
He won a Jennings Trophy, 6 seasons in the top 10 with overtime losses. Okay, now, to me, that tells me he kept his team in the game also, and those, geez, some of those, if they were turned into wins, this guy could probably be pushing 500, you mm-hmm. know, in his career.
Mm-hmm.
Over the course of his career, he's also 6 seasons in the top 10 of save percentages and goals against average. So, yeah, he played with 4 teams: Edmonton, Boston, Dallas, and he was a free agent with the Habs to end his career. But mainly a guy that bounced around to 4 teams, not because he wasn't wanted, but because he was a professional, stable, consistent force in between the pipes. Early in his career, I got him on this list because he's never talked about in that regard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll agree. And he was, what is it? It was him and Reggie Lemelin in Boston, and he was the starter. He led Boston on those 3 deep playoff runs in the early 90s, but they lose to Edmonton in the 90 Cup Finals, and then I think they got bounced by Pittsburgh. Maybe it was Pittsburgh in back-to-back years.
Yes.
The third round or deep second, yeah, third round, and those backs. So they had 3 straight like deep playoff runs with Moog in net, and then he said he went to Dallas, and he was the starter there. Just as Dallas was getting good, I mean, he basically stepped out in '97, and you know the Hall of Famer Ed Belfour came in. For those next 2 seasons on what was really already a really developed Stars team, and you know Belfour put him over in 99, but yeah, he was part of some good teams, and a lot of it was because of him. It that last year he was in Dallas, I think it was his best season. It was the year before he retired.
And you know what I liked about him, Joe, is you could put that guy in any role, like a big heavy workload, or he could be a guy who can give you 20, 25 games a year and not complain,
mm-hmm.
but still maintain a high level of play. So really, he was the quintessential backup, but yet he could take over a starting role if any guy went down and the team wouldn't miss a beat, which you saw happen in Edmonton.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he was responsible for one of those cups at least when Fuhr wasn't going well or maybe suffered an injury. So Edmonton really didn't lose much, and when Moog came in,
right.
So a big luxury for those guys to have probably 2 really solid goalies that they could rely on for a majority of their cup wins in the 80s.
Yeah.
So that's why he's on this list, Joe. Always been one of my favorite players. Even in 4 All-Star games too. Now what you're going to find in this list that I have, I noticed. The goaltenders, even some of the big names, they don't have many All-Star appearances. I see 2 here, 3 here. This 4 All-Star games is shocking because it's one of the higher numbers I've seen. I don't know why that is. It's just, I guess it's because the position is very competitive.
Mm-hmm.
What that tells me from generation to generation, there's always a solid bunch of goalies, and you can only possibly take 3 back the way they used to do the All-Star game. And, you know, so many guys didn't make it that had great years. And, you know, I think they obviously the way the setup is today in today's format, you probably see what about maybe 12 goalies, mm-hmm. maybe 10. I'm really not sure how they do that. Maybe like 3 goalies per squad or something. And there's, yeah, it could be 10 to 12 goalies.
Right. Yeah. It's quite a few goalies now.
Yeah, so, that's a perfect segue to my next player. We're going to bump it up to a current goalie. I believe this goalie is, ever since he came into the league, and to me he's a hot commodity right now, you know, with teams that might be searching a goalie. I know he's kind of had a couple off years. Tristan Jarry's over there now with Pittsburgh, and But I'm gonna put Matt Murray on this list, a guy who's always been it's ever since he started in the league back in 2015. He was fourth in Calder voting that year, and he's always been a guy who's always been compared to Marc-Andre Fleury, and now he's battling Tristan Jarry, even though he has two cup wins under his belt.
Mm-hmm.
So just a guy who's always been kind of a name that never is brought up, except maybe, you know, I know Toronto's kind of looking for this guy right now and may move their goalie out just to bring him in. There's a rumor going on about that, but he's still 26 years old. The thing that impresses me about him, Joe, is he's got a 921 save percentage in the playoffs, and it's not much different than his save percentage in the regular season, which is 914. I'm impressed with his record. He's only played 199 regular season games, and he's already got 117 wins under his belt.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's healthy and gets with the right organization, whether it's still with Pittsburgh and he establishes that number one role back, or a team invests in him, maybe for a long-term contract, and this guy ends up playing 15 to 18 years, you could see his numbers at the rate he's winning right now. And he's with the right organization that gives him support. There's no reason why this guy couldn't have 600-plus wins in his career.
Right. Right.
So I think he's just got to get back to his play of the first 3 years or 4 years of his career. His last two have been inconsistent. So, but I notice he's rebounded towards the back end of both years, towards the back of the season there, and improved his play. But he's got to get that early part locked down and come consistent out of the chute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like him. I mean, he came in as a rookie and two straight Stanley Cups, and you could retire right then and there if you wanted to.
Yeah, he's a good, you know, you ain't got too many goaltenders with that on their resume, and they played 15 to 18 years. And so, yeah, but for sure, he's always compared and never seems to be appreciated. So hopefully that'll change.
Yeah.
Going to go old school on you next, Joe. Ken Dryden. Okay, Cornell grad, played at Cornell, has a law degree, which obviously shortened his hockey career. I'm looking at this guy's stats, and man, it's like 8 years in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of them guys that he left early to become an attorney. I think he was starting to have some aches and pains with his body, having a lower back injury. He only played 397 games in his career. He's never really brought up probably because of that. Although, you know, when people talk about great seasons, they'll talk about his Calder Cup winning season, his rookie year, mm-hmm. you know. But the thing about that is he came into the NHL with the Habs in 70-71 season in the playoffs, and end up taking him to the Cup. You know, he only played six games prior to that in the regular season, and they had to rely on him because of an injury to their starter. I can't remember who that was, Gump Worsley or Hodges or somebody. But anyway, he took over, and they end up going on a cup run, and he ended up winning the Conn Smythe. He came back and played a full season and won the Rookie of the Year the following year, and then six cups in 8 years, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Five Vezina trophies, six-time All-Star, 258 wins and 57 losses and 74 ties in his career. You're not going to find a better winning percentage than that, and he did it with a 2.24 goals against average and 46 shutouts. He had a 92% save percentage, which is pretty high. But I remember this guy being a goalie, a tall, lanky guy who had that classic pose in between whistles where he would lean on his gloves. All you hockey buffs know what I'm talking about. When you see Ken Dryden, that's what he's known for. He'd rest his chin on his waffle that rested on the top of his stick, you know, that stood straight up from his feet.
Mm-hmm.
And right under his chin, and he just waited for the whistle to ref to drop the puck, and then he set again. But this guy ended up calling it a little bit early, I think, or he could have been one of the greats. But I do remember him standing on top of his head and shutting great Boston teams down and some tough Philly teams in the mid-70s and, you know, started that run in the, you know, after the Broad Street Bullies, you know, had that two-year run in the mid-70s and the Canadians ran off five straight in the late 70s. And he was the main reason for that.
Yeah, they only lost... What did they lose in the Stanley Cup Finals in four straight trips? They lost three total games.
That's yeah, it's crazy. Amazing. And I remember that 76 or 77 team, they had six losses only. And the Wings are the Wings of the 95 Wings, I think, beat their point record. And I think it's only because the Wings played more games. But yeah, that Wings team that had that 132 points or whatever, I can't remember the crazy numbers, but that's the team they beat. And Kenny Dryden, I think that was the second from last year. I think I'm going to say 70, is that 76, 77 team, I think. One of those teams was just they had six losses or something. And yeah, but this guy, like I said, he had a law degree and it ended up taking him away from the game. And he became a broadcaster and, you know, every once in a while, you'll see him come back. But very astute guy and played the position smart, too. You bait shooters, you know.
Didn't he complete his bar exam the night before the Miracle on Ice game that he called with Al Michaels?
I believe he did, yeah.
He either was sworn in or he completed the exam, something like that, the night before.
Yeah, it was something like that. Guy's an anomaly. He's you know, I'm telling you, just a perfect goalie for that team and great team. You want to talk about one of the greatest teams of all times? That's I would say the late '70s Canadian teams were definitely up there. They had everything. Joe, the next goalie is Andy Moe's partner in crime, Grant Fuhr. Why do I have him on this list? Well, Grant Fuhr, mainly, this guy played 868 games. Mainly he's on this list, not because so much of his win total. He has 403 wins, you know, 295 losses, 114 ties, 25 shutouts. His save percentage is not that great. It's only 887, okay, which normally would get you in trouble. But this is where I put him on this list. He's been with six teams in his career, and... You know, mainly because he had the reputation for, you know, making the big stops. And I've seen this guy give up five, six goals in a playoff game. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, actually, in those 80 runs with the Edmonton, especially against L.A. or another team that, like Winnipeg, that might have been a high run-and-gun offensive team. But he always seemed to make those key saves come third period, you know, when the game was on the line. He'd make these circus saves that you just wonder, this guy's a freak of nature. He was an athlete, unbelievable golfer from what I hear, you know, a scratch golfer. And he, once again, two-time All-Star. He won a Jennings Trophy, a Vezina Trophy, four Stanley Cups. But the thing that he's on this list because he just never seems to be mentioned. He's always overshadowed by Gretzky and Messier and all the other guys. And, you know, yeah, he's somewhat mentioned occasionally, but I just remember him being the reason they won a lot of these cups before they really learned how to shut teams down consistently. I mean, you'd see him do that occasionally when the fourth round came up in a playoff series, but this guy still was consistent through a lot of those cups and making those big, timely saves, and that's why I got him on this list, Joe.
Yeah, I was always a big Grant Fuhr fan, and he played in the run-and-gun 80s on a team that could outpace anyone when it came to goal scoring, so he really, I guess, it sounds dumb to say, but he really only had to let in fewer goals than his team was going to score. So like you said, it kind of sounds stupid to say, but I mean, he could be fine with giving up 5-6 goals more nights than not, and not many goalies can get away with that. So yeah, he does have the high, you know, goals against average all throughout the 80s, but he did, I mean, by the time the 90s came around and teams started playing more defensive, and it's not like his goals against average stayed high, he was able to play the position and have some of his best years in the 90s.
Yeah, I think he struggled a little bit in Toronto. A lot of goalies did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he played with, I think, Buffalo, a couple teams. I think he ended up in Calgary, but he's with 6 teams total. And I'm guessing the Edmonton fans, I wonder how they felt about him finishing his career in Calgary. I'd like to know the story on that.
Mm-hmm. He played.
I'm wondering, that's it. Yeah.
I'm just looking. I was just going.
He played like 9 games with them or something, didn't he? But it's almost like a slap in the face to. Maybe management over in Edmonton, maybe they didn't want to bring him back or something. Maybe just, you know, some team players that did the city good
right.
in their career at one point, they usually come back and sign like just an entry contract just so they can retire with that team. Well, I don't know why Grant Fuhr wasn't offered that.
Right.
Why would he go to Calgary? That's like sacrilegious in my eyes. You know, it'd be like a Montreal Canadian going and playing for Quebec or...
Certainly. You know, he played in 79 of 82 games for St.
Louis
in the 95-96 season. 79 of 82 games. That's unheard of.
I think that cost them in the playoffs because they did have talent. I believe Gretzky was on that team.
Mm-hmm.
McTavish. I think they had some ex-Edmonton guys on that team, but. For some reason, I think that might have cost him because he struggled in the playoffs a little bit too. And but his numbers sometimes took a hit too playing with those Toronto teams. I think, what was he, 2 years there?
Yeah, he had a couple in the early 90s.
Yeah, right where he led the losses and stuff too. But for the most part, the guy was money. I mean, he basically it was mainly – it's mainly on this list because of the timely saves he makes. And, you know, that kind of goes unnoticed sometimes with hockey pundits. You know, they want to get too infatuated with the goals against average or, you know, that type of thing. But really, timely saves is just as important. So, and he basically, to me, made a career out of that.
Right.
Joe, the next goalie I got on this list is an old guy. He started his career in the late 60s, Rogge Vachon. A lot of Detroit fans might know him for being a Red Wing, probably the second from last stop in his career. This guy, another guy who started out of the chute really good. He won a Vezina in 67-68 as a rookie. 2 Stanley Cups early in his career with the Canadiens. And, you know, he was a workhorse, Joe. 11 seasons, he was in the top 10 with minutes played for a goaltender. He had 51 shutouts in 16 years. In 795 games, he had 353 wins, 293 losses, and 128 ties. 89% save percentage. And I'm telling you, Joe, 3 All-Star games. A lot of his damage was done early with the Canadiens, and he had some good years with the expansion Los Angeles Kings, where he probably brought them to respectability before Dion came in to lend some help, and Charlie Simmer and Dave Taylor, guys like that in the late 70s. But he had a rough transition to Detroit. There was an arbitration move there that where Dale McCourt refused to go over to LA in a trade, and it kind of threw everything out of whack. Well, the courts basically offered Dale McCourt could stay in Detroit. It just put more pressure on the situation. Rogge was a vocal point because of that. Even though he didn't want to be, he was almost villainized. But really, he was just a guy thrown in on a trade, you know. And he had a good year the year before with LA, made the All-Star team. Then he started letting in these mid-ice goals, you know, in Detroit. A lot of them, not just a few. And people really got down on him. And then Detroit gave up Andre St. Laurent in that deal. They eventually sent the player over there after a long court ruling and everything. So the stresses of that, plus the fact that I believe he needed glasses, they finally figured it out. He was having trouble tracking the puck. And I remember as a kid being up, I was like 14 years old or something, and I'm watching in the upper boot, private booths up there at the Olympia, the private rooms they had, the suites. They were way up in the nosebleeds up there, and not like the ones you see in today's fancy rinks, you know. Mid-center ice, you know. They were up there, and I just remember seeing behind the net, standing behind the net, seeing these pucks go in over his shoulder from center ice, just like fans just showering booze down on him. And he never recovered. He came back the following year, had a little bit better season, still lost 30-plus games, and then they shipped him to Boston, where he kind of ended up righting the ship a little bit. He at least had a winning record and before he bowed out and retired. But for the most part, Joe, this guy played in the 76 Canada Cup. He played with some top goalies and top talent that were picked for the Team Canada, which says a lot about him. But overall, he's just a quiet, under-the-radar goalie in my eyes. You know anything about him?
No, not too much. I've heard the name, but as far as Fallon's career ever digging too deep on him, not much.
Yeah, he played with the Montreal Juniors, the same junior teams that I played with, and not on the same team, but the same organization. And I just remember his Los Angeles King mask. He had this dark purple mask with the two the crowns coming out of each eye, you know?
Okay.
Pretty cool. You see a hockey card with it. But but he had some good years. He was an acrobatic goalie on the smallish side, and kind of looked a little like kind of Hispanic. He kind of had that look about him with that long handlebar mustache and everything and the long hair. So, yeah, he had that special look about him, too, that made him kind of a fan favorite, especially in L.A. So they were sad to see him go. But, yeah, I got him on this list for that reason. And, you know, just a real character. And Roshan Vachon, good goaltender, underrated. So the next guy I have on the list, Joe, we spoke about this guy as a possible goaltender that might come over to Detroit. Braden Holtby. He's 30 years old now. He's only been in the league, 7 years? Is that right?
I'll have to look. My computer decided to stop working at the moment.
Hey, well, I'll tell you, he's got only 468 games, so yeah, I'm trying to think if that translates into 7 years. It seems like it would be more, but
He's got 10 years as a starter. Or, I'm sorry, 10 years total, the last 8 as a starter.
Okay, maybe that's what... I know he eventually took over for the shaky Washington goaltending situation and, you know, solidified it and brought him a cup in 2018. He has a 91.6 save percentage, 468 games, and 282 wins, Joe. That's a nice percentage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not quite the Kenny Dryden percentage, but it's pretty close. I mean, that's a good ratio. If this guy stays healthy, plays another maybe 5 to 8 years, I mean, he could be pushing 600 wins himself if he gets with the right situation. He's one of Vezina, Jennings. He's been on the All-Star team twice, actually 5-time All-Star. You know, I think this guy would be a perfect fit in Detroit, too, while we're bringing it up. This guy would be a nice addition for a young Red Wing team. Would he want to do that this late in his career? I'm guessing it would be probably a last contract for him if he probably want 5 years.
Right.
So what would that put him at, about 15-year mark?
Yeah. Yep. If he did 5 more years. Yeah, who knows? It would be a rough couple of years, but he definitely would give the team some confidence on the back end.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe winds would come hard for him. But this guy has the ability, Joe, with semi-decent defensive core in front of him to put up 30-plus wins every year. So, you know, it's something to look at. I like the fact that he has a 92.8 save percentage in the playoffs. That means he's a money goalie.
Mm-hmm.
Anything over 90, Joe, is pretty solid at that time of the year or even throughout the regular season. But you need consistency. You need to make the saves you're supposed to make. And, you know, but he's been doing it with the high percentage scoring chances as well. His save percentage is pretty high. So he's always been a stable force. Goaltending's never been the issue in Washington. It's mainly been the inconsistency of their top players on the front end and the back end that have cost them in past years, especially when they've won President's Trophies over the years. They had a lot of good teams that we talked about in the past.
Yep.
But he's a stable force now for them, and, you know, I think moving forward, he needs a new scenario, though. He's kind of
at that point. Yeah, he's got Samsonov's young. He's come in and played really good and kind of pushing him out of his role. You got to, if you're a team, it's kind of a bubble playoff team or, you know, maybe top eight in the conference, you know, around that 7-8 spot. Those teams, if they need goalie help, they're, you know, come whenever the free agency starts, they got to be calling this guy up and getting him in because he can put a team like that over the top for sure.
Oh, definitely. I mean, a guy that's done that, been there, and he could be definitely a stabilizing force in between the pipes, especially for a young team. Like, I could see him, like, doing well with a team like the Islanders or something. But, yeah, we'll see. But anyway, the next goalie, Joe, on the list, Ed Belfour, we brought him up, the Eagle. Always a guy I love to hate because he always played for the Chicago teams. He's always been a volatile guy. I think he's on the list for me mainly because he's always been kind of unstable emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's always cost him in the big moments. I think this guy should have three or four cups, and he only has one to show for it, and that was in Dallas. You know, like we talked about, he had Andy Moog stabilizing everything for him and kind of setting the table nice for him.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing you know, he's coming up in cleanup duty and doing the job with a pretty good team in front of him.
Yeah, he had below a 2.0 goals against average those first 2 years in Dallas, which I was talking about how good those Dallas teams were. You know, right when he came on board, those were his best years of his career. And even though how good he was in Chicago, he was even better with that Dallas team.
Well, this guy has a pretty good resume. I mean, two Vezinas, four Jennings. I mean, I don't think there's a goalie with more Jennings trophies than him. He's got a 92 save percentage in the playoffs, like we discussed. I'm on 13 years in the playoffs, Joe. He's got a 2.17 goals against average. So really, you look at that, and all those playoff teams he played in front of, or with backstopping Chicago and all those, it really wasn't his fault. I mean, he always did his job. His numbers were there. He made the key saves. But like I said, sometimes he got a little out of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
He let the easy goal in occasionally because of it. But for the most part, I mean, a guy like this should have three or four cups for sure. And he's got 484 wins. But, you know, he also has 320 losses with it, too. So 76 shutouts, 2.50 goals against average. You know, he's a Hall of Famer for a reason, but I still think the hardware, he should have more Stanley Cups to show for his ability and what he's done. His playoff numbers dictate.
Yeah, I ran into Lemieux and the Penguins in the early, was it 92 season? There wasn't too much anyone was going to do to stop that team. I think they lost, when they finally won in 99 in Dallas, they were back in 2000 when they lose to New Jersey in six or seven games. So he almost pulled the back to back. He was over 930. Yeah. He was over 930 save percentage in both of those. Yeah, he was definitely a good player in the playoffs. And he was undrafted, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, he was toiling around, I think, the Kalamazoo Wings for a while. And I don't think he came in the league as a young guy, if I remember correctly. Kind of like Tim Thomas, kind of in a way. You know, Tim was a little bit older when he came in as well. Sometimes that bodes well for a goalie, but you know, Eddie had he was a feisty goalie, and I think sometimes if he could have toned that down a little bit, maybe he would have had more success, because usually when the Wings got him rattled, like Probert ran him or something, they usually changed the complexion of the series or a game, because the Wings stopped their playoff runs a few times, if I remember correctly. So
yeah, and was it Chicago? Wasn't Hasek there in 89? Yeah, didn't they make the decision to keep Belfour and let Hasek go, right?
Yeah, they moved Hasek over to Buffalo or Ottawa. I think it was Ottawa.
Let's see.
Yeah.
No, they moved him to Buffalo. Yeah, they moved him to Buffalo in 92. Yeah, after... Okay. He was with Belfour for 2 years, and then they kept Belfour and moved Hasek to Buffalo.
Yeah, did he go to Ottawa after that, or?
No, he didn't go to Ottawa till late, in between his Red Wings stints. Yeah.
Yeah.
When he retired, hey, Joe, came back, and then.
Speaking of the Red Wings, the next goalie on the list, the guy had a cup of coffee with Detroit, Curtis Joseph. This guy, 943 games played, 454 wins. Another guy that had his share of losses, though, 352, mainly because of all those Toronto years. He played with some pretty average teams in his career. 96 ties. He had a 90% goal save percentage. And he played in two All-Star games. Here's an interesting fact about this guy, though. Tells you why he's underrated. I remember him playing for St. Louis, and when they played in Toronto, and he basically stood on his head in a 1-0 playoff game 1 year, and he had like 51 saves. Never forget that. But this guy, he played with six teams. Six times he was signed as a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I could go through a bunch of players in the NHL history and find that stat. I mean, six times he was signed as a free agent. That means teams actually really thought he could be the difference on six different occasions. And Joe, we're talking about a 15-year window here.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that tells you like how consistent this guy was. I remember his stats in Detroit the 2 years that he played here. I mean, the 1 year they counted on him in 2003 and 2004, just the Wings were, you know, just coming off that cup win. And what year was that?
2002.
Yeah. So he ends up getting the starting role, and you're thinking, okay, Cujo is finally going to get a Stanley Cup, and just wasn't meant to be. But his numbers, he had a 93% save percentage. You know, 1.39 goals against average in that playoff, but the scoring obviously was down. I think that's the year. Wasn't that the year Kings beat them or something?
Yeah, I don't remember who knocked them out that season, but yeah, if you got a goalie with a 939 save percentage and a 139 goals against average, you don't figure that you're going to be losing those hockey games, and that's, you know, Detroit wasn't scoring.
Yeah, I think he went 4-4. So I'm thinking they won the first series. I think they end up losing the second series. Can't remember if they got swept by LA or what. But I remember running into him that year, right after that happened, or during the series. I ran into him at a Meijer over by Fraser Hockeyland. I remember talking to him in the checkout line, and you know, I kind of told him a little bit about myself so he didn't feel awkward, like he's just talking to a starstruck fan or something, and we just started talking. I just told him, look, you're playing well, man. I said, don't just keep your head up, you know, that type of thing. But they just couldn't get nothing done, nothing generated on the offensive end, I remember, in that series. And I think the L.A. Yeah. has had their number and just shut them down.
They beat Nashville in six, and then they lost to Calgary in six.
Oh, Calgary.
And that's the year Calgary went to the finals and lost in seven to Tampa.
You ever notice that, though? It's like Edmonton did that once, too, during Iserman's, I think, last year. Because they got that picture of him walking off the ice the last time ever. Remember that in the Zamboni door there?
Right.
The old Coliseum in Edmonton.
Mm-hmm.
They end up going to the Cup Finals after beating Detroit early in that playoff, too. So you see how teams, like, to beat Detroit, it was like that's who you usually gauge yourself by.
Yep.
They end up, both those teams end up beating them and then making that next two rounds. They just on emotion probably just fuel them for a Cup Final.
Yeah.
So that was the only time Ginla actually made it to the final, wasn't it?
I believe so, yes. And they weren't.
Yeah, he was.
They weren't. Calgary was a six seed that year. They weren't.
Edmonton was a one seed as well.
Edmonton was seven or eight the year you're talking about. Yeah, that was. I think that was a first round knockout, if I recall correctly.
That was horrible. I remember that.
Yeah, that wasn't a good year.
Yeah, it was terrible. But, you know, it wasn't because of Curtis Joseph. And, you know, he got maligned by fans for that, too. You know, I think he came here thinking, you know, hey, and everybody else thought it, too. You know, this guy's finally going to get a cup, you know. But it wasn't meant to be. But, Joe, you know, those are pretty much about 9-10 guys that I named right there. Do you have anybody different from jotted down?
I have a couple guys, and they might surprise you here. The one I've mentioned before in previous shows when we were talking, Archer's Urbe.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah.
He's only 80th all time, played in 568 games. 218 wins. He was a two-time All-Star. He won gold twice at the World Juniors with the Soviet team. And then I think that's the reason why we talked about him at the time is he was the one that backstopped that Carolina team in 2002. They ended up losing to the Wings. And he had a 167 goals against average and almost a .940 save percentage in that postseason. And
that's pretty stellar. Carolina ran, they rode his wave for sure. And yeah. Didn't he play with San Jose early in his career?
Yeah, he was on San Jose, I think from the expansion year. I think he started when they were when they were first in the league. So, yeah, he was on some bad teams. And, I mean, they did, I don't recall if he was he, was he in net or was it Kelly Rudy when they eliminated the Wings in the early 90s?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know that. That's that Osgood turnover.
Yeah, the Osgood turnover. I don't remember if it was Urbe or Rudy in net on that.
Looking one up, but that's a good one. I remember him with that. He had that helmet, too, that he wore with the cage, you know?
Yep, the funky helmet.
Jofa. Yeah, he had like that bucket Jofa helmet on. They kind of made different styled helmets. It wasn't the Jofa like that Gretzky wore. It was more of a bigger bucket, but I think it was the same.
Yeah,
same was, comp.
Yep. Yeah, it was a goofy goalie helmet. The other guy I threw on here is an oddball, Glenn Healy. He was another undrafted goalie. Played with the Kings, Islanders, Rangers, Maple Leafs. He was a guy that I thought he was never a starting goalie. He was kind of just a solid backup netminder that could start when he needed to. And if you remember in that 94 season when the Rangers won the Stanley Cup, Kelly Rudy on my brain. Mike Richter got hurt and Healy carried them into the playoffs in time for Richter to come back and seal that yeah. one for the Rangers.
Hey, Joe, did he go to Western?
Healy? I'm not sure. I know he was undrafted. He was another undrafted goalie that just kind of battled. Let's see. I can't find it here. Let's see if I can find it somewhere
yeah,
else.
Yeah, while you're talking, doing that, I'm liking him to like Van Beesbrouck, too, in a way, even though Johnny had some good numbers. Johnny was a savior in Florida, had a few good years there when they made some cup runs and had his good years in New York as well. I'm wondering if they were ever teammates in New York.
He was even a backup at Western. Well, no, yeah. That just shows assists. He was a backup. He got some time, but yeah, it was at Western Michigan.
Was he with Stauber or something? I mean, Rob Stauber or something was a goalie for Western as well.
His goalie partner. Let's see. Who's he got? He had Mike Hansen his last year, Kevin McCaffrey. I don't know what he started with. Let me go back a couple years there.
I thought he did go to Western. So, yeah. You know who else I have on this list as honorable mentions is Yaroslav Halak.
Okay.
You know, got some good numbers. He had 520 games under his belt. He's got a I think 292 wins or 272 wins, 167 losses. So he's over 100 games in the win column on his loss total. So he's played 14 years, though, and that just shows he's a backup. He's been a perennial backup, but he has 50 shutouts in those 272 wins. That's pretty impressive ratio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's been with my teams. I mean, and all the teams he's played with have been pretty solid teams. So they use him as an insurance backup. And we talked about him, Joe. I think he's with Boston right now, backstopping Tuukka Rask. And
yep.
I think that's been the situation his whole career. He's always been in behind a really solid future Hall of Fame goalie.
Right.
I think he's looking to establish himself now in these last few years of his career. And not so sure Detroit would be the ticket for him, mainly because he's on the downside, but I think the price tag would be too high for his age for a team that's building. You know, but I don't know. It's going to be interesting, but I always thought with his 916 save percentage, he's always been a pretty good goaltender and pretty reliable. That's why I got him on the honorable mention list. And another one on the list here is Mika Kiprusoff. Remember him?
Yep, I remember Mika. He was
probably from 2006 to 2011, Joe, probably one of the better goalies in the NHL for Calgary.
Right, yeah, definitely. He was really good. He had his window, his flash, and then he kind of disappeared.
Yeah, he went back to Finland and I don't know. The Calgary goaltending situation has never been the same since. I mean, they used to love him. He was their favorite son, so to speak, and he wasn't even from Calgary. But, I mean, 319 wins, you know, a 912 save percentage, 44 shutouts. He did it with flash. I thought maybe Detroit, when Detroit played them a couple times in successive playoff seasons, that he would steal one. Was he on that team the Calgary team that beat Detroit in six? I think he was the goalie, wasn't he?
Just gonna look and see. Kiprusoff.
He was a pretty good goalie. They call him Kipper, and you know, like I said, he didn't have a large NHL window. He played a lot of his hockey is internationally, and kudos to the Calgary scouting staff for finding that guy.
Yeah, he was. He was the goalie when they eliminated Detroit in six there.
I know Detroit ended up paying them back, too. Not, you know, I think we played them like three playoff series in a row. But another Finnish goalie that I put on the honorable mention list was Kari Lehtinen. Remember him?
I do, yes.
Dallas?
Yep.
Another guy. Stats are pretty close. Also played 623 games, but had only nine fewer wins than Kiprusoff. He had 310, but substantially a lot less losses because obviously Dallas was a better team. overall. I had the same save percentage.
Yeah.
So pretty crazy.
The last guy I had him as an honorable mention, and it's probably a guy that a lot of people haven't even heard of because he only played in the league for 4 years. He was out of the Czech Republic, where he won 5 straight league championships, and that was it the extra Liga league, the pro league over. And the Czech, he had two gold medals at the World Championships. He didn't come over to the NHL till he was 29. Played 4 seasons. He had 110 wins in 212 games. 25 of those were shutouts. So we're talking 23% of his wins were shutouts. In the postseason, he only had 9 playoff victories, but 3 of those were shutouts. He played for Philly for 3 years and LA one. Roman Čechmánek, remember him?
Yeah, big guy.
Yeah, big goalie. He dominated over in Europe, 5 straight championships. And he came over, he played 4 years in the NHL, and then he went back home. He just took off. So I don't know, I'd have to look if he signed a 4-year deal with the Flyers and then they traded him at the end of that 03 season, or if he had a 3-year deal and then signed a 1-year deal with the Kings and just didn't like LA and went home. But yeah, he went back to Europe and played in the Czech league for a couple of years, played in the German league for a couple, and then finished up 3 more years in the Czech league. But yeah, real big, good goalie, and just those Flyers teams weren't as good in the early 2000s as they were in the mid-90s.
Hey, Joe, since you bring that guy up and you bring up the Flyers, it reminds me of a guy. Wonder where the Flyers would have gone as far as playoff success if Pelle Lindbergh didn't have that fatal car accident.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I always think about that. I saw him on the list, and I thought, man, what could have been with that guy? But I remember seeing that story and seeing his car wrapped around that cement wall or whatever. You know, he had a fascination for American cars and speed, which, you know, a lot of the foreign players seem to do when they first come over here. And, you know, obviously cost him his life, but I just think about what the Flyers would be like with that guy had he not had that fatal accident. What would have happened? Because, you know, he was obviously a young kid. He probably, I don't know what year that was when he passed away, but I'm wondering if he would have been on that 96-97 Flyer team that played the Red Wings.
Let's see.
Their goaltending was suspect that year. Hextall was kind of on the downside of his career.
Yeah, they had, Snow and Hextall split in time? Yeah,
both struggling that year, stopping the puck. It was just brutal.
Yeah.
So, does it say, are you looking that up?
I'm trying to find Lindbergh. No, I'm not finding him yet.
Well, just a thought that came to my mind with that story and that goaltender you told. Three other goalies that I think are ones to watch, Joe, are Jake Allen.
Okay.
Martin Jones and John Gibson, both West Coast goalies. We don't get to see them much, but their teams are struggling. They've had glimpses of brilliance, you know, early in their careers, but I think they're goalies that can have long, impactful careers if their management gets them some solid pieces to play in front of them. You know, they seem to be in semi-rebuilds and restructuring with some of those, especially San Jose, with Carlson and Burns and all these guys under large contracts. It's kind of seizing them up a little bit. They're talking about moving Burns.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so there are rumors going around. Say Carlson's probably got too high a price tag, and he's kind of frustrating anyway. I would not build my team around him. He's not one of my favorite defensemen. A lot of people love him. I don't. To me, he's too much of a liability. He just too many turnovers, and I don't know. He just, you know, with Paul Coffey, you saw the same thing. But, you know, you'd see some return on the offense from Paul Coffey, almost 2-for-1, you know what I mean?
Right.
And it's almost 1-for-1 with the his point production and how much gets caught up the ice. It's almost 1-for-1. So I don't really think he's worth the money.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do because they got, what's his name over there? Was it Mark Edward Vlasic? He's not going to be cheap. Yeah, he's not cheap. So that's 3 high-priced defensemen.
That's a big problem for them. And maybe Yzerman. I don't know if I would like – the only one I would probably like out of those 3 would be Vlasic. I wouldn't even like Burns here. I don't think he would fit.
Right.
Too many – he gets caught up too much himself, you know. So him and – that's why I didn't like the fact Carlson went over there. I thought it would be him and Burns on the same top 4.
Yeah.
It's a recipe for disaster.
Well, you see how their season turned out this year. They're the third or fourth worst team in the league.
So. You can only have one player back on that blue line like that, Joe. You can't have 2 guys that command that much presence offensively, and then, you know, you don't think it's going to bite you on the back end on those transition goals. You're crazy.
Right.
So that put a lot of pressure on a guy like Gibson or Jones. I think Jones is their goalie, right?
Yeah, Martin Jones is their goalie.
Yeah. And Gibson's had his same issues with Anaheim, I mean, with the same problems. So, you know, but I don't know. I'm thinking you got to mix it up back on the blue line, and that's why I'm not sure who Detroit's going to go with free agency-wise for a defenseman, you know, but they could use a stable defenseman that kind of stay home.
Mm-hmm.
They got Roenick already, and depending on who they draft, if they take Drysdale. So I like how we're segueing back into draft talk here, Joe.
It's fun talking about the draft. I need more draft. Let's talk about it next time, too.
We'll do that. But the goaltending is pretty much a done topic. I'm not a proficient at goaltending knowledge is maybe defense and forward, but over the years I've studied the position, and you know, it's definitely a lot of character from that position, a lot of underrated players, and we touched on a few of them. I hope the fans enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's been, I guess it's a dry hockey spell. We can only talk about the rumors of what's going on so much, so pull up some of these lists and just have some general hockey conversations. Real quick, I'll give a shout out since we started doing these, the drafts and starting to pick up the prospects and pick up some of these lists. We've been picking up some fans and some listeners out in the Philippines and making some headway in Sweden. So say hello to you guys out there that are taking time to download our podcast. We appreciate it.
Yeah, no shutdown over in Sweden either. So, you know, hopefully you guys are drinking up and listening to some good hockey talk. And we love Sweden. A lot of players come from there that we enjoy. And I think a lot of them are kind of making the transition into the NHL really well. And that's a tribute to the great development programs they have over there. And I think here back in the States, we should be emulating some of their ways and you know, some of the youth leagues that we have over here maybe should use as a template.
Yeah, speaking of, now that we talked a little bit about the draft unintentionally here, I ran across a mock draft yesterday.
Wow. Okay.
It was yesterday. And they had, we're talking about Sweden, they had we were talking Holtz, they had him going, it was either 4 or 5.
Really?
So we talked about how he could be someone that could move up into that top 5 depending on team need. I don't know. I'm going to have to go back now and look and see where the heck I stumbled across that at.
That's interesting.
2020 NHL.
Still liking a Stutzel guy.
Yeah, I want to. So they had I'm probably not going to be able to find it now because I'm trying to look for it quickly. But they obviously had Lafreniere number one going to Detroit.
They had number two. They had your boy Byfield.
They did. They had Byfield at two. And then they had, I don't even think they had Stutzel at three. I think they had Drysdale jumping at three to Ottawa because the way that it breaks down, they had Detroit one, Ottawa two, and then Ottawa has that San Jose pick three. So their reason was taken Byfield at center to get their big center to play with Tkachuk and then to grab the top defenseman in the draft. And they made a note of it saying that, you know, you might think that's a little crazy, you know, pulling Drysdale up. But he's the best defenseman in the draft, and they already got the best center in the draft. So basically hitting a home run. They had L.A. or no, not L.A. L.A. would it be four, and I'm five. I'm still trying to find that exact one that had Holtz pulled up. Because that was was it Lucas Raymond was the other Swedish forward out of the SHL?
Yes. I like Colts. They're a little undersized, but, you know, definitely could find the net.
Yeah, I'm trying to try one more and see if I can pull it up. Nope, can't. I can't find that exact one. But they had your Drysdale pulled up to number three, so.
Okay, I still say he might go number two.
Yeah, well, if Ottawa, you know, now we don't know what the, yeah, I mean, Ottawa's going to have, unless they win the first overall pick, they're either going to pick second and third or first and third, so.
Could you imagine them getting the first pick, Joe?
Oh, man, it'll be crazy for them.
They pretty much get Lafreniere and then, either Drysdale or Byfield.
Yeah. Yep, because I have a feeling if Detroit's at two, they're going to pick Stutzel over in Germany.
I think you're right.
I think that's who they're going to take. So.
Now we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it'll be... It's going
to
be...
Hear a draft date.
I know. We'll see what... Yeah, we'll just wait for the draft date. Maybe they'll have one by the time we release this episode.
I hope so. We got to get to some nitty gritty with the season too, and what they plan on doing.
Yeah, we'll get it back up and running. It sounds like that's what they're looking to do. So
it'll be interesting to hear the cities they pick, and because a lot of stuff has to go into this still. So, and the NHL's crazy, man. They're going to be the forefront league as far as this pandemic goes, as we discussed, and looks like the. It's like they're going to put themselves a leap of faith out there and maybe give this a go.
And see what happens, yeah.
All right, cool.
That's our list this week, underrated goaltenders. Tom and Joe, we'll see you back here next time on the lighter side.